Well, good morning and welcome to Second Baptist Church. So glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us and would love to connect with you. If you are a guest in person or online, there's a card in the pew back in front of you, or there's a button on our website, svcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. And so we would love to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us today, and just grateful that you've chosen to be here and looking forward to worship this morning. I want to quickly make you aware of a few things. Steve Overton is working on getting a group together or at least giving some information about a concert tonight. And so he's here immediately after service. You can get with him and he can kind of give you some more information about a Christmas concert. And so see Steve Overton right after the service, if you would, if you're interested in that. This Tuesday on Christmas Eve, we have our candlelight service begins at 5 p.m. right here, and really looking forward to that. We're going to just have some special things with that, and always an exciting time, one of my favorite things of the year to do. We try to do our best to make it about an hour at the longest. We know there's a lot of activities planned, and so I hope you'll make plans to come be a part of that, bring your family with you, and just a way for us to help focus our attention on the reason for Christmas. Take note of all the information about the year-end giving and things that are happening, when the office will be closed over the next couple weeks. We have some limited hours for the sake of our staff being able to be with their families during the holidays and those things. And so I want to make you aware of that. There's some announcements and things there in the bulletin. Again, the women's Bible study. And so if you haven't already, I hope you'll make plans to be a part of that and get with Miss Brenda if you haven't already. And so thank you so much and looking forward to that group starting. I know that'll be a blessing. Well, this morning I want to just begin by reading a very familiar passage and just read Matthew's account of the Christmas story. And then we'll have a time of prayer and then we will just worship the Lord through song. And so Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." This is why we gather today. It's why we gather every Sunday. It is the indescribable gift that the Word of God talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And so let me lead us in a word of prayer. God in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for this season that we get the opportunity to be extra focused, if you will, on Jesus and the sending of your Son. And so, God, we are thankful for that. I pray today that through song, through preaching, through praying, through responding, that, God, we would focus our heart on you. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength. I pray you would speak to us. I pray you give us the ability to worship you in spirit and in truth today. Lord, you're worthy, and you're worthy of all that we can say and do. And so we love you and praise you, and we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would go ahead and join me in standing.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill. shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lonely manger, the humble Christ was born. God sent us salvation that blesses Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it Christ was born. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, crown yon virgin mother and child. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, darkness flies, all is light. Shepherd. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, reign.
Rising up so vast and strong, lifting up.
Well, amen. Well, thank the Lord that Jesus does save indeed. If you have your Bible, I hope you will open it to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. I want to read a familiar verse to you in just a moment, and that will be our text for the most part for today. And I want to preach to you this message, the sign of Emmanuel. And I don't know if you remember, but some years ago, there was a comedian went around and he sort of hung his hat on all of these sayings of here's your sign, right? People would do less than intelligent things. And he would talk about those, and then his saying was, here's your sign of less than intelligent things, right? But he made his career on that and so on and so forth. But this morning, I want to preach to you from Isaiah chapter 7, and it speaks of a sign and a sign of Emmanuel. And a very familiar text to us. I've preached this text before. Matter of fact, 4 years ago, I preached this text, but preached it in a different way. And so just preparing this week and looking forward to this, and our Christmas Eve candlelight service is focused on Emmanuel, God with us, and just really felt compelled to look this morning at this sign of Emmanuel. And so Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in, we're going to read verse 14. And so if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the Bible says this, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. And God in heaven, I pray that God, You would speak to us through Your Word this morning. God, I pray You would hide me behind Your cross, that You would fill me with Your Spirit, and that, God, I would preach everything You want me to preach, nothing more, nothing less. God, I pray You would help us to respond to You in a way of obedience and faithfulness. Lord, we love You and praise You. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the main idea of the text this morning, if you're following along and want to take notes, is this, is that God gave a sign so that we would receive His Son for salvation. God gave a sign so that we would receive His Son for salvation. And we're going to see this morning that hundreds of years, we'll talk about this, that God gives this sign and wanting the Jews to be prepared for the Messiah, and not just the Jews, but the people of the world. And so this morning, as we turn our attention and turn our eyes focused on Christmas and remember the reason for the season, remember why we celebrate this time and talking about Jesus, and we got to remember that the point of Jesus is so that you and I would have a saving relationship with the Lord. So then the question is have you received Jesus for salvation? Have you personally, individually accepted Christ as Lord of your life, as Savior, so that you can have a saving relationship with Him? Well, there are four aspects I want us to talk about and think about with regard to this word sign that Isaiah gives in chapter 7 and verse 14. So the number one truth I want us to see is signs are relative based on who gives it. Signs are relative based on who gives it. So again, notice the text here, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Will give you a sign. And so did you notice it says the Lord will give you a sign? Well, the point of this, the thrust and focus of this is it matters who's giving the sign. It matters who's giving the directions. You think about when you go And I recently saw a video of a guy that went. He went to, I think he was at a ball game or maybe at a concert or something. And I think he worked in the construction industry or whatever. And so he's in his truck and he's having a hard time getting out of the parking lot. It's after the game, etc. And so he and a friend are together. His friend drives his truck. And so he, again, in construction, had some kind of safety vest on. And so what's he do? He goes into his truck, puts the safety vest on, and goes out and stops traffic as if he's working the parking so that he can get backed out and get into the flow of traffic and get where he needs to get. Why? Just because he had a vest on, right? Because some reason that vest thought, well, man, he's got authority. I know some of y'all thinking, I'm fixing to put a vest in my car next time I go to a Razorback game, right? Just slip one in there, make life easier, right? Why? He's given direction. He doesn't have anything special, and particularly nobody knew him, but because he had the vest on, it was a recognition of authority and giving direction, given a sign. Well, dear friends, this morning our text gives some authority to the sign because the sign has weight and value because of who gave it. And notice in the text it says, "Behold, the Lord himself." It is a repetitive language that's there. He is emphasizing it's God who gave this sign. And as we talk about what this sign is, we got to remember the one who gives it. And we celebrate Christmas because Jesus is here. Jesus has come. And he's Emmanuel, God with us. And the significance of the sign is that God gave the sign. And so, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord." Look at this, "that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell in safety. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Again, it's another prophetic text of Jesus coming. But you notice that even Jeremiah, he says that the Lord says this. This is a sign given by God. But then another familiar text in Luke chapter 2, Luke's rendition, Luke's account of Jesus' birth, the birth narrative and the announcement. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" Now, the angels had something much more than just a safety vest, right? And they show up, and in some way, there's this majestic encounter. And you know, you're familiar with the story, the shepherds obey. They go find baby Jesus, and they worship. They proclaim that he's there. They proclaim that he has come, the Messiah has come, and they worship him. Why did they go? Because they have this majestic encounter with this angels, and why is it? Because they know God has sent them this sign, and they are to go. And so this morning, it's just a reminder to us as we look and we think about Jesus, is that the prophetic word came and it's a sign. And Jesus has come and he's come to offer all of us salvation. It's a sign that God loves us. It's a sign that God initiated this. This is not something I conjured up. This is not something that you fabricated and worked up. There's nothing you and I could do because he just loved us so much. And he loved us in spite of ourselves. That he sent his son Jesus. And all of this initiated by God. Because of his love for you. Because you and I, as image bearers of God, are God's special and choice creation. And he wants you to know him in a personal and intimate way. And he knew that your hope and my hope only lies in him initiating it. And so the sign matters because of who sent it. Who gives it? Number two, signs make you look ahead. Signs matter because who gives it, but then also the significance of a sign, it makes you look ahead. Again, notice the text, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall, future tense, conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name, again, future tense, Emmanuel. This prophetic word is given in the day of Isaiah, some 750 years before Jesus would actually be born. Hundreds and hundreds of years before arriving on the scene, we have this strong prophetic text that we, man, it's just a given for us. It's a given for us. It's clear. It's evident for us that there is this prophetic word hundreds of years before Jesus has come. It's a familiar text. We see it often during this season on Christmas cards or on decorations or whatever the case may be. But in the day and time in which Jesus came, they were not as clear on it. They were not as, many of them were not as anticipatory in this. And even in Isaiah's day, there was confusion some about who would be the fulfillment of this. Who would this son be? Who would this woman be? What's the meaning? But the sign makes you look ahead. It says that she shall conceive. She shall bear a son. She shall call his name Emmanuel. It's future tense, looking ahead. That's what signs do. When you see a sign on the highway, oftentimes going down the interstate, it is looking ahead. Bucky's has figured this out, right? The billboard. There's one in Benton that says Bucky's 263 miles ahead. Good gravy. If I'm traveling with my family, I'm going to have to pull over a time or two before we get there, right? But what it makes you look ahead, it creates anticipation. Isn't that oftentimes what happens at Christmas? Now, sometimes maybe not for the same reasons, right? My kids, they are anticipating Christmas, right? There's a tree and there's presents and their mother has threatened them within an inch of their life, right? No. Shaking up and all of those things. Oh, maybe that's me she's threatened. I'm sorry. Maybe that's me. There was a box that was open in the closet, and it's been open since she put it in there. And last night I went to go hang some clothes up, and she goes, why is this box open? Have you been looking? No, sweetie, I promise I'm not. If I'd known it was mine, I'm not saying I wouldn't have. I just assumed you wouldn't have left mine open like that. But nonetheless, there's this anticipation that happens when we see signs that look ahead. And that's what is given here in Isaiah. He's saying, listen, the Lord himself has given you a sign. And this shall happen, and this shall happen. It's not the only time we see this in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. It's a prophetic word that Jesus would come from Bethlehem. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. We read this a moment ago, but listen, that I will raise up, looking forward to David, a branch of righteousness. A king shall, future tense, reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell in safety. Now this is his name, by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. Again, the sign makes you look ahead. As we read Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And so the sign matters because of who gives it. The sign's intended purpose is to make you look ahead. Number three, signs are designed to grab your attention. To grab your attention. Now, notice the text. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This word that we see in our text, virgin, there's a lot of debate over what it means. There's a lot of debate over what Isaiah intended by it. I personally believe with all my heart that the translators here got it right. The basic core meaning of the word in Hebrew, yes, it does mean young woman. It absolutely, that's the core definition of what it means. However, the intended purpose, I believe, as we see it as a prophetic announcement about Jesus, is the very reality of what we see translated, that she'll be a virgin that shall conceive. Because here's the deal, what's the point of the sign? A point of a sign is, we've talked about it, the authority and power is given, substance is given by who gives the sign. Also, it creates a sense of anticipation, of looking ahead. But also, signs grab your attention, right? I referenced the Bucky sign. Why? Because it was a giant billboard going down the side of the road, and it grabbed my attention. And so here's the thing. If it was only intended just to be a young woman, it's not that miraculous of a thing in terms of related to a virgin conceiving. Yes, it is a miraculous thing when God gives a child. I'm not discounting that, but it's not in the same realm, it's not in the same boat as a virgin conceiving and bearing a son. And so I believe in the context and the intended purpose of this, that the translators got it right, that the intended purpose that the a virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Because that is the miraculous conception. That's the miracle of Christmas, is that God come into flesh, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, there would be this miraculous conception. That God did something beyond human thought or human possibility. When the Virgin Mary conceived and bore Jesus. That's the miracle of Christmas. But here's what I need you to see and understand, that it creates this sense of anticipation, but this sign is significant. It's intended to grab the attention. That when Isaiah gives this, and they understand that this is something, this is not everyday things. This is not what they were used to seeing or hearing. That this was a prophetic word, that the Messiah was coming, and he was coming in a way that they had never seen or would never see again. So the Lord himself will give a sign. And that's where we see the fulfillment in Luke chapter 2. He even gives a sign to the shepherds. We read about it a moment ago in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, the last verse of that text. It says, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." It wasn't common to go find a baby, a brand new baby, lying in a manger, lying in a feed trough, okay? Yes, it was a few days ago, but that wasn't common, okay? Why give that? Why give those details? Because the sign is supposed to grab attention. This is something, this is what sets it apart. And in the same way, we see Isaiah chapter 7, it's not just a young woman that is intended here, but rather a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is what is to set it apart, this virgin miraculous conception and Emmanuel, God with us, that God come in the flesh. And so, signs are relative based on who gives it. Signs make you look ahead. Three, signs are designed to grab your attention. And then number four, signs are not the star of the show. Signs are not the star of the show. What do I mean by that? In verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." The star of Christmas is Jesus, not Mary, not even the virgin conception. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. It's the working of the Holy Spirit. And man, it is a miraculous work. It's one only that God can do. But the virgin conception, the calling of his name, that's the sign. Right? because I wasn't driving down the interstate, saw the sign for Buc-ee's, and I didn't pull over and go visit the billboard. Right? There wasn't anything there. Hey, it creates an for somebody, it creates an excitement. 263 miles down the road, there is the mecca of gas stations, right? Any Buc-ee fans? I mean, yeah. Yeah. So I can tell some of you are really excited, like you're thinking there's road trip this week or something. I don't know. Anyway, if you're not familiar with Buc-ee's, Buc-ee's literally is like the Disney World of gas stations, right? Okay. And I was like, yeah, how great can it be? And it's pretty fantastic, all right? So, nonetheless, but I didn't pull over at where the billboard was, pull off and go and visit the sign. Why? Because they didn't have a bunch of gas pumps. They didn't have all this beef jerky and all this fudge and all these things that Buc-ee's has to offer when you go. Why? Because the billboard is not the star of the show. And we've got to fully understand this. It's a miraculous work, and God used Mary in an incredible way to bring forth the very Son of God. And it's a miraculous work, but she is not the star of the show. The star of the show is Jesus. And the star of Christmas is Jesus. Period. Nothing else. Nobody else. There's nothing wrong with the Christmas trees and the presents and the decorations and the cards and the celebrations and the food and the candy and more food. The family gathered, all of those things. They're wonderful. Wonderful. Cranberry sauce is wonderful. But it's not the star of the show. Pecan pie is wonderful. But it's not the star of the show. Jesus and Jesus alone. And so I don't know what your next few days might be like. I don't know what activities you have planned. I don't know what things may hold for you. But my challenge to you is this. Over the next few days, make Jesus the star of the show. Enjoy all the other festivities. Enjoy the gatherings. Enjoy those things. But make sure Jesus is the focus. It's really easy, right? It's really easy to be distracted. It's really easy to be caught up in the busyness. It's really easy to, we'll say, overwhelmed by the crowds, right? Or frustrated. By the way, guys, you got to, few hours left, so you can still do it, okay? But Jesus is the focus. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of Tolman. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, don't you love that, those names of God? Those names describing Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And Jesus really is the star of the show. And so, friend, I just want to remind you, just want to remind you that not only during the Christmas season should Jesus be the star of the show, but every day of our lives. We're here It's one purpose broken down in two ways. First of all, to know Him, have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And secondly, to make Him known. To tell others, to invite others, to grow with Him, to know Him more. Listen, Jesus, if you come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the reason you're not taken home immediately at the day of your salvation, God has left you here with one purpose, and that's to make others know Jesus. Help others come to know Jesus. You can't force it on anybody. You can't make anybody get saved, but it is our single duty to tell the name of Jesus across the globe, both near and far. And so as we talk about these things with regard to Jesus, that Jesus is the focus, that Jesus is the star, it's a reminder for us not only that Mary is not the star of the show, but also you and I are not the star of the show. We are not the main characters. We are merely supporting cast that ought to be forgotten in years gone by. It's our job to serve Him in such a way that many come to know Him, and very few remember us, because I'm not the star of the show. And so, dear friend, I don't know if you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, but why not today? Why not now? Because the very reason God sent His Son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the beauty and the power of Christmas is that, yes, Jesus came, but the beauty and power that's given to Christmas is because Easter. Because there was a cross in which Jesus went and sacrificed Himself. There is an empty tomb where He went and was buried, and 3 days later He was risen from the grave. We celebrate Christmas because there's an empty grave at Easter. Because had Jesus come and died like any other man, then you and I have no hope of salvation. Had Jesus come and died like every other man, then you and I are still lost and dead in our trespasses and sins. But thanks be to God, that's not the story. The story is the Lord Himself gave a sign. And the virgin conceived. And she brought forth a son. And not just any son, she brought forth Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, fully God, yet fully man. And He came as a little baby. And He grew. And He sacrificed Himself on the cross so that you and I could have salvation. And so, friend, I want to encourage you, invite you as much as you can this week, point others to Christ. But even more than that, for whatever days we have left, whatever breaths we have left, to use every one of them to point others to Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't point people to Jesus. Today is a day of salvation. You surrender your heart and life to Him. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And a time just to respond to what the Lord maybe has spoke to us today. And if you don't know Christ, and this is a time, and you'd surrender your heart and life to Him today. If you do, we're going to have a time that maybe God's laid lost people. You're going to see family and friends, many of us, over the next few days that maybe we normally don't see, or at least talk to them on the phone or have some kind of conversation or communication with them. Man, today is a great day. Let's be intentional in just a few moments and just pray. Pray for lost people to be saved. Pray for our family members to come to know Christ. Pray that we might point others to Jesus in a more fervent and diligent way. Pray for one another. I know that Christmas seasons and holiday seasons, we talked about this in recent weeks, bring back a lot of really hard things. Oftentimes there's empty chairs. And oftentimes there's lonely houses. And pray for one another. Encourage one another. Check on those who have lost loved ones recently or this year. Let's love each other well. And make Jesus the star of the show in all that we do. So I'm going to ask if you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. And let's fix our attention on the Lord and what He has for us today. If you don't know Christ, You can pray right where you're at and surrender your heart and life to Him. You can ask Him to forgive you of your sins and be the boss and master of your life. Surrender everything to Him. Say, Pastor Chris, I don't know how to do that. Well, I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. But understand this, words of a prayer don't save anybody. It's the attitude of your heart. And so if your heart's desire is to be saved, you can call out to Him in your own words. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. But maybe you need help. You can pray something like this, but whatever you do, mean it with all your heart. You may pray, say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away all my sins, all the things I've done wrong. I ask you to make me clean. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Lead me, guide me, direct me. I give you my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. I pray in Jesus' name, your main attitude of prayer. In just a moment, I'm going to pray again. I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you prayed and asked Jesus to save you, meant it with all your heart, when we stand, I'm going to invite you to come forward, take my hand, say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me today. Man, I want to visit with you about that. I want to talk to you, encourage you in that. Maybe you've been saved and you're a Christian, you're a believer. Man, I love how Pastor Chad encouraged us last week that the church ought to be the church that's on the altar. Hey, believers, we flooded this altar praying for one another, praying for friends and families and praying for people who are here. I believe with all my heart that needs to be our attitude. That needs to be our posture week after week, asking God, begging God to do what only He can. And we can't ask people to do what we're not willing to do ourselves. And so it might be that you want to come. Well, I pray in just a moment and pray for friends and families. Pray for things going on in your life. Pray for other church members. Pray for people who aren't here. Let's seek the Lord during this time. God in heaven, I pray that God, in these next few moments, we would respond to you. That God, we would be obedient to you. Lord, I pray that you would be exalted, you'd be lifted high. Lord, you're good and gracious and kind. I pray in Jesus' name. If you'd stand with me and remain in the attitude of prayer. God spoke to your heart and you want to come and get on this altar and pray for one another, pray for people. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you made a decision today. You come. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and gave my heart to the Lord today.
Down from love.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, amen. Well, again, thank you so much for being here today. Our men are going to begin to take their place to help take up the offering as we leave today. Did want to give you a quick reminder that we have our Lottie Moon Christmas offering post office just outside the doors here. And so I really want to encourage you to check that. Make sure that you pick up any Christmas cards that might be there. It will be there Christmas Eve night as well. And so please make plans to be here 5 o'clock. We'll get started right at 5 o'clock, Lord willing, and be a fun night of focusing on Christ and really looking forward to that. And hope you'll be here to be a part of that. We are continuing to take up our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so just want to encourage you to pray about what the Lord would have you to give. Want to mention to you, just read this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Man, giving is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to give back to the Lord what He's first given us. The Lord certainly does not need my giving. The Bible says He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I believe He owns the hills too, okay? And so He doesn't need what I give. It's an opportunity. And this is what I can testify of. And as I look around this room, I know many of you could testify of the same. I've never outgiven God. God has always been faithful to meet my every need, no matter however He leads me. And so I just want to be faithful and obedient in giving and giving in a generous way. And so many of you do that, and I'm so grateful and so humbled and thankful that you do. And our church is able to do the ministry that it does because many in this room, you are faithful to give, and you don't give sparingly, you give generously. And so thank you for your faithfulness to give. And I just want to challenge you that if you may be struggling in that area, man, it's an opportunity to see God work at a whole different level in our lives. And I believe He does just that when we're faithful in that area. Okay? All right, well, let's stand. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. And just want to say a special Merry Christmas to you and your family. If we don't see you on Christmas Eve, pray that you and your family have a blessed Christmas. All right? Jesus, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. God, thank you for the gift of Christmas. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. God, I pray that we would give in a way that brings honor and glory to your name, that we really would see it as an opportunity to give back to you what you've first given us. And so ultimately, we thank you for the indescribable gift through your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us in our gatherings and things coming up this week. Protect us. Bring us back safely. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.